Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
So, what I want to share with you today in the first session is seeing money differently. Now, that seeing is not physically, because money is what it is. If you hold it, you can't look at it different. But it's more a spiritual, even a mindset around money. And I want to share with you, just out of some personal testimonies, where I'm on my journey with money, and how do I see it, where do I come from, where I'm now, and where I believe I'm going with regards to money and how it flows. So God has a plan with prosperity, and that plan starts with the right attitude about money. So if you don't have the right attitude about money, you're going to struggle to follow and fulfill God's plan for your life, and you'll need money to fulfill the plan for your life. So if you have the right attitude, that's where we're starting today, you need the right principles. So there's biblical stewardship principles, there's management principles on how to deal with money, how to work with money, how to sow, what to eat, what not to eat, and all those type of things, which we'll also look at. And then all of that is for one reason, and that is for the reason of having you in prosperity so that you can mobilize the kingdom, so that you can move forward, and that you can see a life of purpose, that you can sow into areas where there's actually fruitfulness. Because if you just give to a ministry or a church and there's no fruitfulness, that's not good stewardship. It's very quiet if I say that. But don't just give to God and then you think you've ticked a box. Look at what the fruitfulness is where you give. Look at the condition of the ground. Look at the fruitfulness. And sometimes it's not instant. Like I think a pecan nut farmer, which you'll hear maybe a bit later about, that's about 10 years from you sow until what you're making money. So you're not just seeing that as a waste, but that's a longer term investment. But just to come back to a personal testimony of mine, where do I come from? And what I can only say is I'm come out of stinking thinking about money. And that stinking thinking is actually worldly thinking. So I don't blame myself. I don't blame my parents. I don't blame anyone, because that's just the way that we were brought up. The way that we deal with money is that everything basically revolves around money. And you won't say that even, and you won't acknowledge that. But if you stop and you think, how do you make decisions? If you go to the restaurant, do you look at what you're really wanting to eat today? Or you're first looking at the price tables, the price tags, and then deciding, okay, I've shortened it down to about three options. I'm sometimes still there, so I'm not saying that I've completely done, but that's stinking thinking. Turning over every cent, feeling poor even though you're not poor. If you go walk in a shopping mall, you'll feel poor. You feel you have nothing, you feel you can't afford anything. Just go walk on the beach, you'll feel like the richest man in the world. The world is designed around consumerism. You need this, then you will be happy. You need this, then you'll be happy. If you have the iPhone 7 today, sorry, you're not happy because you don't have the iPhone 8 or the iPhone X or 10 or whatever they want to call it. That's how the world is designed. Guess what? What do you use your phone for? Can your phone do that? Be happy about it. Be happy. There's a contentment. Yes, there's more to have. There's more to get. There's more to go to. There's more flow. But what's the reason for it? I studied industrial engineering, and with that, we do a lot of costing. We cost everything, and that's not good. So what I did is someone would invite me, listen, do you want to come over for a braai? Or we're going to go over for the weekend. We're going to go to place X, campsite. Immediately, even almost subconsciously, I would calculate, okay, that is 20 kilometers at R2.65. That's what it's going to cost me. And then I would base my yes or no decision on that. Not on the people that I could invest in, spend time with, see family, have a good time, just enjoy life. No, on cost, stinking thinking. So, my father, God, he's awesome. So guess what? I was still in Heidelberg, Gauteng, working there for a Marion Roberts company. And I was like, just daydreaming. And in this daydream, I was like, it must be the most amazing thing. It's obviously impossible, but it must be the most amazing thing. If you have a petrol card that you don't pay. Now, remember where I'm at, cost-minded, every cent, every kilometer. And then I look at it, it's just a while ago, the new Polo came out, Volkswagen Polo. I was like, wow, that's just a nice car now. Starting out to work, just after student life, this is now, but of course I won't do it because that won't be good. That won't be wise. I've got a Corolla, and apparently a Corolla can go for 1,000,000 kilometers. So I'm going to be stuck with this Corolla for a while, but at least I'm a good steward. Now, remember I told you about God, the good God, the Father? So I get a job offer, and they don't give it to me. They force it on me. A Volkswagen Polo with a petrol card that they pay at the end of the month. Now, that's just a testimony of how God uses a blessing to change your thinking. How God uses a blessing to change your thinking. Not a hardship. A blessing. I don't have that petrol card or the polo anymore. But I don't have this thinking anymore. Now if I go all over and I pay for it and I don't know what it costs, because there's enough with God. There's no more stinking thinking. Where am I now in my journey with money? I would say that I'm free. I'm free from the bondages. I'm free from serving the golden calf. I'm free because money is not my goal, but every godly goal needs money. So money is not bad. Money is not my goal, but to do what God has called me, I'll need money. And therefore money will flow, but money is not the goal. The goal is people. The goal is eternity, and money will flow when we have the right goals. Money is a tool, and in the right hands, it can accomplish amazing things. I can give you a tool. Maybe you're a jewelry maker. If you give me the tools of a jewelry maker, I cannot do anything with it. But if I give it to a jewelry maker as a tool, she can do amazing things, or he can do amazing things and generate income. Money is a tool. What you use it for depends on the value that you get out of it. Money is a tool. What you use it for depends on the value that you get out of it. That sounds counterintuitive because money has a value. No. The value of money is not the amount written on the note. The value of money is what you do with that. If you use money to go on a mission trip and you change lives for eternity, what is the value of that money that you spend? That's much more than the amount printed on the notes. So money is only a tool. Money is not an amount. What I am and why I'm free is I'm trusting God as my source and my provider. And I can honestly say that. It's been a journey. Remember, I'm giving you a very short highlights package today, and I'm still on the journey. I'm definitely not there. But God is my source. When I resigned my job, full-time job, end of last year, I had to believe that God is my source. There's no other way, because when you resign and you don't have another job, but you're going to just step out and do what God says, then you need that. So that helps. If you want to walk on water, you need to get out of the boat. If you work for God, He will find a way to pay you. If you work for God, He will find a way to pay you. Colossians 3:23 says, "In all the work you are given, do the best you can." I like that. That's excellence. "Work as though you are working for the Lord, not an earthly master." Now, will God sign your paycheck at the end of the month? No, He won't. Your master will. Your client maybe will. But you're not working for them. You're working for God, and God will find a way to get the money to you. He will use people, yes. He'll maybe use businesses. He might use sheds. He might use farming. He'll get the money to you if you work for God. God is not a slave master. He's a father. This set me free. My wife came up to me one day, and we're on this journey together. She resigned even before me, so she was a step or two ahead. She just led me in that. And she said, "Listen, I know you're my husband, and you're a good husband." Nah. I'm paraphrasing now, so I can say whatever I want. She said, "Thank you that you're providing for me, but I just want you to know it's not your responsibility." And I'm like, "What? I'm the husband of this house. I'm the man of the house." I mean, she said, "No, it's God's responsibility. He'll do it through you, but it's not your responsibility." And I thank God for a godly wife like that, that just set me free to trust my Father. Because if God wants to provide for her, I know how much He loves her, and I know He loves me just the same. So there's a prosperity that flows. There's a provision because it's God's responsibility. Where I'm now is I can sow. I can sow generously because with God as my source, there's no limits. If you work for a job, there's a limit to your paycheck. Yes, there's other ways if you have the right mindset and the right faith. But in your mind, you're limited to amount X that you're going to get end of the month. Maybe a 13th check. Maybe you have an incentive bonus, and that's where you're really putting it in. And then what happens is you mitigate to only do the things that gets measured and that gets rewarded. And that's not, if you work for God, you do well in all fronts. And God will find a way to get the money to you. As I said, it's God's responsibility. So with him, there's no limits. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, and God can give you more blessings than you need. Amen. I like that. That's the ERV. God can give you more blessings than you need. Sometimes you just need to find a Bible translation that you actually understand. And just read it, especially if it's not in your mother tongue. And this I understand. God can give you more blessings than you need. Wow. My God says, you shall not want. Now he says, you'll have more than you need. More than you need. Why more than you need? Because there's an overflow principle. And you will always have plenty of everything. You will have enough to give to every good work. You will have enough to give. So there's an overflow. And make sure that you gauge your overflow. Make sure that you steer the overflow so that it becomes sowing and not wastage. If you think of a dam that overflows, they can use the water that overflows if they open the sluice gates, and they can direct that water to farmers, or they can just let it flow off into the ocean. The one is good stewardship, the one is wastage. Your finances are the same. Allow that overflow, let God overflow, but then gauge and direct the overflow to see an income, to use that as sowing. With God, there will be more than you need. That's where I am. God has showed me where I'm going, but I'm not sharing that with you today. That's still for me and God. But I know there's more. I know with my God, there's always more. There's more than enough to give to every good work. It's God's responsibility, not mine, to provide. And I'm just going to be the vessel. Some of the points I want to just leave with you. It's not about how much you have, but how you manage what you do have. It's not about how much you have. There was a lady, Jesus watched her giving, and she gave, let's say 1 cent. In Jesus' eyes, it was the biggest offering of the day. Because why? It was 100%. With God, and a good principle is to work in percentages. Because with percentages, there's no limits to the amount. Purpose in your heart, I want to give this percentage to God. I want to pay this percentage on my house, this percentage maybe on a car. Because then there's no limits. But also let God change the percentages. Why limit your giving to 10%? I think that's boring. But we're not going to go into giving right now. I'm just saying as a principle. Work on percentages. When Jesus had 5,000 men to feed, he broke it down into manageable quantities. Luke 9:14 says, for there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. At the last business leader seminar, I shared on how to do a lot with a little. And I used this. This is not a parable. This is actually a true account. Your finances are the same. Maybe you only have a little amount, and there's a lot to do. Break it down into manageable portions. Give everyone a little. Know where you're going. Have a savings account. Don't just give everything into one thing because you want to drive this big car. Break it down into percentages. Break it down into manageable portions and see the prosperity flow. Another thing that I learned on this journey just over a year, prosperity and provision is not limited to money. It's not limited to money. The day that I got this, one of my old colleagues phoned me and I said, listen, I've got too much veggies in my veggie garden. Would you like some? He gave me, I think it was 2 or 3 bags, like Checkers bags full of tomatoes. We cooked tomato soup that day for the whole day. We gave pots of soup away. We froze soup. I love tomato soup. So it wasn't just that I had to have it. But provision is not limited to money. There's more. If you limit your provision to money, then God can only provide for money because that's all you expect. But if you open that up, you get in a position to receive, you can receive a lot more than money. And then you can actually use your money for other things. Another thing that I learned, don't say, I cannot afford it. Rather ask, how can I afford it? Don't say, I cannot afford it. And I used to be there. Natasha would say, I think we need a new dining room table. Well, I think we need a dining room table. Maybe not a new one. If you don't have one, you just need a dining room table. And I would say, no, we can't afford it. not now. That's not on the cards. Now I say, how can we afford it? And what we did actually is look what's in your hands, but also look what's in your house. There's a lot of things in your house, maybe in your garage, that you don't use. So we went on a little adventure over the last month, and we started selling things that we don't use. There's so many Facebook groups. There's Gumtree. You can go and just dump it at Cash Crusaders, Cash Converters. They don't give you a lot. If you put in a bit of effort, you get more. But if you want something for it, go there. So yesterday, we got delivered an awesome dining room table that we bought with the money of the things that we sold. And guess what? They're still left over. We also didn't buy a brand new table because we trusted not to spend all the money. So we found a table on Gumtree because these people like us that have things they don't need. And now we have an awesome dining room table. It even matches our coffee table. Because God is in the detail. He'll give you what you trust for. And that is amazing. For me, that is not just what is in your hands, but what is in your house. One thing I want to give you as well is stop stressing about money. Money is not that big thing. Money is only a tool. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries to him because he cares for you. Give all your worries because he cares for you. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about provision. God said it's his responsibility. Point three, don't let money lead you. Remember where I started? Money decided where I was going over a weekend, over a holiday. Don't let money lead you. Instead, lead with money. Now, I'll need to explain this a bit. You lead with money because Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to think about Sasol shares, buy some Sasol shares, and you'll be thinking about Sasol shares, I promise you. If you want to pray continuously for Carl and Alicia in Albania, give towards Albania, and you'll be thinking and praying, and you'll lead your heart, you'll lead your mindset there. If you want to become part of a business ministry, start giving towards a business ministry. Start attending, start giving your time, because you lead with money, and your mind follows, your heart follows. I promise you it works. Point four, pay the important people first, and then the important things. People are more important than things. Who agrees with me? Okay, so why don't we use our money to pay people first, including God, our families, ourselves, and then pay the important things later. It's just about priorities. It's just about how you set up your budget. Cash flow. I like this one. Cash flow. Everyone knows the word, but we don't know what it means. Cash flow means the flow of money. Now, guess what? There's two sides to it. There's an inflow and there's an outflow. Now, where we are currently in the Western Cape and we're trusting as it's changing, is the outflow of the dam is bigger than the inflow. So what happens? There's a drought. Your money is exactly the same. If the outflow is more than the inflow, you'll reach a drought. So just manage that. And you can do two things. You can increase the inflow or you can decrease the outflow. But make sure there's money in your bank. Make sure there's money in the dam. Don't spend all you have. And then very important, don't spend all you plan to have. So some people get promised the big bonus or they're going to sell a house for price X and they start spending out of excitement. And then guess what? It never realizes. And then you're in trouble. So rather than just wait till you get the money in the bank and then decide and purpose in your heart how you want to spend it. Point six, my last point. Generosity begets generosity. Be generous, lead by example, and remember you can never outgive God. It just becomes a tool in your hand as soon as you let it be a tool in your hand. You have a hammer, and if the hammer's in the garage, the hammer cannot do anything for you. But if you start using that hammer to create value, that hammer now becomes an income generator. But guess what? You need to take up the hammer. You have the ability of God to see wealth and prosperity flow. It's the ability of God inside of you. So you need to put your hands to something. You need to start see the flow. You need to stop your stinking thinking. And it's a journey. There's no condemnation. And then be limited to an income of one stream. If you see that this dam, this cash flow, the outflow is just too big currently, but there's only this little trickle coming in, either increase the size of the trickle or have multiple trickles, have multiple streams of income. We always speak about cash flow and multiple streams of income. And just in preparing yesterday, it just became for me so practical. The words mean what they say. There's a flow of money. There's a trickle. There's a stream of income. See that picture in your mind. See that prosperity of God flowing. And Shane will speak about more of that in a moment. So I won't get into his message, but that's going to be awesome. Let the prosperity flow, because it has to be effortless if it's from God. I'm not saying you're not going to work for it, but it's effortless. Remember, you can't outgive God. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things." Are you there yet? Ask yourself this, because this is the Bible. This is not Peter speaking. "That you always, having all sufficiency in all things." That's God's plan for your prosperity. "That you always, having all sufficiency and all things, may abound to every good work." So you first need to have enough in order to be enough, to give enough. But if you never start, you're never going to get there. That's the paradox. The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because there's no outflow. So hoarding is not the answer. The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because there's no outflow. Your dam is a rivers of living water that God said will flow out of our bellies. To conclude, God has a better plan. God has a better plan. God had a better plan, and He still has a better plan for me than what I thought. The thing is, if God calls you to something, you think you're giving up a lot for God. You're giving up your career. You're giving up X, Y, Z. You might be giving it up, but you're just sowing it. You're just sowing it. I sowed a career, and I'm just seeing the fruit of it, because I sowed it into the kingdom, because God said, and I'll tell you what He said. 2 Corinthians 6:14, God called me about 2-3 years ago. He said, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" In that moment, I knew that God is calling me out of my work. I knew that He's calling me to something else. He's calling me to something different. But I was holding on to this. I was limited by a single trickle, a stream, and was a good salary, but it was a single limited position out of my own work. Not from God's prosperity, not from His flow, not God doing having the responsibility. And then if you read on, I was like, maybe not. Maybe this is just God. Maybe it's just me. Maybe. I read on, and verse 17 says, "Therefore, go out from the midst and be separate from them." I was like, whoa. Okay. So in four scriptures, basically God calls me, it confirms the calling. And then what is my immediate response? God, who's going to pay for this? I have a wife. I have responsibilities. And actually, my question was not who. My question was, how am I going to pay for this? That's the most incorrect question you can ask. That's the question I asked. How am I going to pay for this which God has called me to? But how am I, Peter, going to pay for this? I want to show you my loving Father. In verse 18, it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." My question was how. The Father answered me, why? Because I'm your Father, you will be provided for. Because I'm your Father, you will be my sons and daughters. Because you are my sons and daughters, you will be taken care of. So the question with God is not always how, but why. Why can you have more than enough? Because you're a son or a daughter of the King. Why can you have more than enough? Because you're above only and not below. Why can you be more than enough? Because we don't conform to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our stinking thinking. And on that note, Shane, I can give it to you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.